Well, thank you, Marissa. That's a good message for us in song. Good thing to try to put in practice. There's always going to be some times that the faith gets weaker and we get to stumbling, but Jesus is still the answer. Amen? Well, some of you have been saying to me, several of you asked me if I got a nap. I did get back in the hospital and lay down and try for about 20 minutes. And I think I got in the twilight zone. In fact, I think I saw Rod Sterling. Some of you young folks don't even know who he is. But anyway, and then several of you have been saying, "Preacher, why don't you just take it a little bit easy?" So you know what I thought I'd do? I thought I'd take some of your advice. And I've asked somebody else to preach for me tonight. Don't give me advice if you don't expect me to take it, right? It is an opportunity for me. I thank God I have staff that can step in, and they do from time to time. And we're still kind of getting a little bit over the, hopefully getting over the flu. I'm glad my wife's able to make it back tonight also. And I think she's learned her lesson. I told her she had to quit being a chain smoker. All right. I'm joking, but it sounded like both of us was on about 2 packs a day there for a while. With all joking aside, it's been kind of hard to kick this stuff. But I am privileged to have staff that can step in. So Brother Parsons come up to me this morning just at the wrong time for him, right time for me. He said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "You may have to preach tonight." And so he's going to come preach to us. God bless you, Brother Parsons.
Thank you, preacher. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It is my great privilege, and you pray for me tonight. And it's my great privilege to preach in this place and in the past in preacher's absence, but it makes me nervous when he's behind me sometimes. Amen. And I appreciate being asked, and I do thank God for this place. And I won't take the time tonight to tell you all that this place means to me, but I hope that you can look around. And I looked around out the window at Restorathon, and I had the pleasure of being able to be behind the microphone this year for a little bit of time, and having been asked to do that, and just looking down and seeing all of God's people working, you know, doing more important jobs than I was doing. All I was doing is yakking, and other people were taking the calls, and then other of God's people were calling in with the gifts. And I thank God for all the work that was done and all that was done there. My intention tonight is to help you if I can be a help. And this is not work for me, praise the Lord. Amen. This is what God called me to do. So I get to go on vacation. Amen. For a few minutes. You all will have to endure, but I'm on vacation. Amen. And just hopefully it's not like Pharaoh, you know, "Let my people go" by the time the thing is over with. Amen. Let's pray together, and then we'll start here in chapter 1 and verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you again for your many blessings. I thank you for calling me to preach, dear God. I thank you for giving me an opportunity tonight to do that. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would do something for me tonight, that you would just use me as your mouthpiece, that I wouldn't preach, but you would preach through your book, that your words would speak volumes to God's people, that they would be encouraged, that they would be encouraged and strengthened to go on and do more for you than they've ever done before. I thank you for this place and what it stands for. I pray you'd help me tonight to honor what I've been trained to do, and I honor you and glorify you tonight with what's done. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, if the tape room, if you want a title, I didn't really get a good one. I got asked too late for a good title. Amen. Sometimes they're better than the message anyway, right? And just some things I found here in the book. I was reading through 1 Thessalonians, and it was exciting to me, some things that have been going on in our church. And I see here, I hope we could all agree, Thessalonians is one of the good churches in the New Testament, not perfect churches. And I don't know that you could ever find a perfect church. And if you did, stay out of it. Amen. You've heard that one before. Amen. Because you're going to mess it up. But this is a good model church that you could learn some things from. And Paul loved this church. This is one of the churches that Paul went to. And one, when he was there, he worked very hard, not only to preach, but he didn't take money from the church. He worked night and day, he says in the book, because he worked to earn his living, and then he preached to them. And listen, that's good if you can do that. And there are men all across the country that do that. But I thank God for a church of our size and the work and the scope, and that can take care of a preacher and can take care of him as he preaches and studies and works the book. But here Paul is, he's preaching to that type of church, one that not only maybe they had the means, but the church itself was under great persecution at the time. And so Paul was saying to them, listen, you know, even if they had opportunity, sometimes they wouldn't have been able to do that for him. And so here in the beginning of the book, this model church, Paul's going to say some things, and I'd like to for you to look at that, and I just want to see some things that he says to this church that we could apply to our own lives and see and maybe help us and encourage us tonight. Paul, in the very first verses, is Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Look at this verse here. It says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to go back and take some time here, but I want to see some things. And one of the things as I age and as I grow a little bit older, I look down the road. Should the Lord tarry his coming, I look to some. We've had a year where some people have passed off the scene. And some people that we could look to and we could just see, man, this past year we could say, you know, these people, man, they had left a legacy for us, some things to remember them by. And I thought to myself in my life, and as I, you know, everyone has goals and hopes and dreams for their life, but as a Christian, our hopes and our dreams and our legacies should be different than the world. And here he talks about some things, and for me, some things that I want to be remembered by. I think some things that our church, my home church where I grew up, everybody that comes through that place leave there. I've never heard anybody come through there and say, this is a perfect church. Never heard that. I've had people come through there and say, nobody ever said, this church has the nicest bathrooms in all the world. They never said that about our church. Or they came on the property and we had tons of horses, and nobody ever said, this church has the nicest horses in all the nation. And I mean, there are people have come through and said a lot of things about our church. But one of the things that I thank God for that I've heard tons of people, they said, this is the workingest church that I've ever been a part of or ever been in. And I thank God for that. Listen, you know that as a church, you'll be known for some things. If I was able to read the book of Thessalonians to you, there are some things that Paul goes on, and we may get there tonight, but I'm looking at the clock, and I don't think preacher gave me that kind of time. So if you read through the book of Thessalonians and you could see it, you could see that Paul talks about their testimony, not only in their local area, but all across that area of the country. And listen, thank God that Landmark is one of those churches, but it's because of some things that we see in the Scripture. And I don't want it just to be true of the church that I'm a part of. I want to be remembered for the things that my church is remembered for. I want to be remembered for some things that the Bible, that Paul says, listen, that he not only, if you look at verse number 2, he says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing. Listen, I want to be remembered. Paul says, when I think and I pray about you, I remember these things about you. What are you known for? Can I hit you at home? Listen, I thank God. Like I said, I look down through the window, and we have been through a time of labor. It seems like when we turn, I see work coming and going each way, and that is a blessing because the work of God never ceases. But I want you to know, listen, he says here, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. You know the word work, the definition of it, in the newer Webster's Dictionary means to work is just to turn a page. Now, where I come from, work means something different than that. But the word actually, even in the 1828 dictionary, means to move. It means to be in motion. Our work of faith. Do you know that this church is always in motion. Sometimes we're going in two different directions at the same time. working faith, working out your own faith, the Bible would say in other places. But here, the work, your work of faith. You know, faith is one of those things that a lot of the world cannot describe, but the Bible defines it. The Bible defines something that the world doesn't understand, and a lot of time it mixes it up. And faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know, the work of faith is something that all the time you can't lay hands on. It's not always something that you can see. I'm reminded, and some of you may, you know, you can, when I'm thinking of working by faith, and Brother C. Wright, you could probably identify with this, but when I get under the hood, there's a lot of times I get my hands. I had to work recently and put an alternator on my van, and praise the Lord, I got it in there, and I did it an hour less time than I did it the last time, amen? And I should have known better than to buy something that wasn't from here, praise the Lord, amen? But I'll learn my lesson, amen? So, but I'm working on that thing, and sometimes I'm working by faith. Because I've got the bolt, and I know I can feel that it's in place, but I can't see what's going on. I'm trusting that what I can feel around me is what's going on. And listen, I don't know about you, but I think some of the people that called in, the moving of the Spirit of God in their heart, sometimes the working of God cannot always be seen. You can't always tell how you're going to give it all down the road. You can't always tell how everything's going to work out, but you know that it's the work of God by faith. And for me, it's always been stepping out to a place. You know, they talk about, pastors called it this stepping out on a limb to the place where you can't see the limb under your feet anymore. You know, you believe it's still there, but you keep on stepping out by faith. And listen, I've told you before, even coming here, back here, when we moved here, preacher said, called me one day, and I told you, I was praying. My wife said, you know, we were talking about the house we were moving into and down here, and there was one house open, and my wife said, I don't know if that's a good place. And I said, don't worry about it. You know, I'm praying about it. Don't worry about it. And then finally, I just told her one day, I knew in my heart of hearts that was not what God had for us. And I finally got brave enough and had enough faith, not just to talk to God about it, because me and him were straight on the thing, but I got brave enough to tell my wife, because she'll hold me to it. Amen? And I told my wife, I said, we're not going to move into that house. I don't believe that. I believe God's got something different for us. And I thank God. My preacher called me within an hour of that. He called me from here, and I was still in Maryland, and he said, hey, I've been thinking about this. I don't think that's a good place for you. I said, and usually I'd say, don't worry about it, preacher. It'll be fine. I said, I don't think so either. I said, I'm glad that God is speaking to your heart the way he's speaking to mine. And listen, I'm here to tell you tonight, listen, the work of faith in the believer's life, it's very important. But listen, do you know what? I want to be a believer. I hope you want to be. I want our church to be known as a church that it's the work of faith is going on in that place, to be remembered that way. You know, we could talk about Brother Hartwig. We could talk about different believers that have gone through this place, and it is true about them. And we not only want it to be true of our church, but of us as believers. And let me boil this down. You know, when we talk about the church is not this building or this piece of ground, but it's you. So if it's going to be true about our church, it has to be true of us collectively as believers. The work of faith. God wants the work of faith to be done. Listen, if the church does not do the work of faith, who's going to do it? The work of faith. That means stepping out when we can't always see the way, but we believe that that's where God wants us to go. Listen, this is a good picture of it, I believe. That was a work of faith. We followed the man of God and what he did. Listen, I want to encourage you tonight. Listen, and the second one there I see in the verse, something to be remembered by. It's right here in the text. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. You know, I want to thank you all for all you Sunday school teachers and day school teachers that teach my children. Do you know there's a difference between teaching and showing up and laboring in love when you teach my children? You know, if you labor in love, I love my children. And I've built some things for my children. You know, I've done some things for them. And I remember, you know, and you talk about, oh, sacrifice or whatever, but it's different. I built some things, and I mean, I wanted to go. You know, there's something, I don't want to tell y'all. I'm in my daughter's room. If you went in my little daughter's room tonight, there is a ballerina bar Okay? Now, I know every one of you are thinking, that's ungodly dancing mess. And you know, that's why it's in her room when she shuts the door. Nobody else sees her do that. All right? I don't take her to get lessons. I just want to tell you, listen, she wanted to be a ballerina so bad. She found this book at the dollar store somewhere, and she was reading about these ballerinas, and she wanted to be a ballerina. And I, listen, I'm here to tell you, she went up north for about a week. And listen, I went and got a mirror. I found a mirror. I didn't go buy a big one, but I mean, it was a good-sized mirror for a little girl. And I found a piece of, you know, I didn't go buy one of the things, preacher. I just made something up, you know. And I got a handrail, and I mean, she's hung on it. She climbed on it enough now. She stood on it. She drug it out the wall about three times. I had to put it back up, but she didn't use it the way it was made for, you know. She thought it was a monkey bar. But anyway. But you know, she left there, and I mean, I went to work in that room because I love my daughter. And I love her enough to love what she loves. And I went after that thing, and I didn't care nothing about putting some bar up with a mirror so she could put her leg up on that bar and do a bunch of things. But I love her. And listen, you know, our labor of love, the Lord Jesus, sometimes we have to love people in the ministry that are unlovable. And I thank God, listen, you know, there's all kinds of people that'll pass through either on the bus ministry or just kind of wander into the building. And listen, I want to tell you, compared to God, compared to the Lord Jesus Christ, when God looks at me, I'm unlovable. See, what preacher preached on this morning, sometimes we don't put it in perspective for ourselves. We see ourselves as being somebody that's really lovable, but listen, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And the labor of love that you put in, I watched people at the Restore-a-thon this week, and people that pastors talked about brought in food. And I mean, you know, I ate some ribs, and there was some labor of love going on in them ribs. Amen. And I mean, I saw some people down there on the phones a long time, and some people that were in the gift packages and just dealing with all the different things, and they were tired, but they loved what they were doing. I saw some people that left that place at late at midnight and came to work in the church today and got on their bus routes, not because they had to, because it's a labor of love to them. Because they don't get on the bus because they got to, but because they love children. Not just any little children, but their children on their bus route. Not just any route, but my route. Do you know, you know, when I was a teen, I led a teen youth, you know, class back in my home church, and I was a youth pastor there. And I stood in the front of the bus, and this, I'm not picking on you, brother, all right? So I'll point you out. But I stood in the front of the bus on one of our youth activities, and I told my youth that I loved them. And I meant that with all my heart. And there was a young man that told me, "You love us because you get paid to." And there was some years down the road while he was in Bible college that young man wrote me a letter and said, "Brother Parsons, I want to tell you I'm sorry for that. Because I realize now that you loved us. I realize now that they weren't just words. I realize now that that was a labor of love." And listen, can I tell you tonight, thank you, church, but listen, I want to be remembered as someone that endeavored my life. That word labor doesn't mean the same thing as work. Work is to move. And if we're going to move, we're going to move in faith. But labor means to lose strength, to give up your strength. You can even do it. I mean, even in labor, thinking about a young lady giving birth or a not so young lady giving birth to a child, you can think about that. And listen, there's not a lot of movement, but there's great expiring of strength. And I want you to know, listen, in our Christian lives, listen, it's going to wear you out to love people and to give yourself to them. Sometimes they're not always going to love you back the same way that you love them. But it doesn't mean that that labor of love is any less important. It doesn't mean that it's not worth it in the end. Listen, because I'll be honest with you, when I entered this thing, the labor of love that I got, I was given by the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of times in the church, the man of God gave me an opportunity to do something, gave me a part of his authority in the work of God so that I could be a Sunday school teacher or a bus captain or whatever it is. Listen, whatever your labor of love is, listen, you know, I know that you get tired. I know that the work seems like it's long and hard. It seems like it's over and over again. There's no end to it. But listen, there's a time coming. The Lord Jesus is coming back. And that labor of love will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Can I tell you that tonight? Listen, I see a third thing here to be remembered for. And he says this, and this is not as pretty as some of the others, but I see that return of Christ. It says the patience, look at it, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I read this, I may be different than a lot of other preachers. That patience, you know, patience, we think of patience as sitting a long time in one place without going crazy. But the word patience, the definition of patience is to suffer. And in this life, this Christian life, this world that we live in, this sin-cursed world, the Christian life, we've changed that word patience, and we think we're just going to sit around and wait, or we're waiting on Christ. I just want to tell you, listen, I want to testify that just because I got saved doesn't mean that things went smooth and easy and I didn't have trials and troubles. Even in the work of faith and then my labor of love, there have been trials and tribulations and sufferings for the cause of Christ. And if you can't even see that, you read through the book of Thessalonians and you'll see, even when we do right, the devil will want to try to knock you off your feet. Even when you want to patiently wait for the coming of the Lord, the devil wants to try to ruin your testimony so that the next generation won't remember all these things that we're talking about tonight. Can I encourage you, church? I know tonight that I'm not ripping and screaming at you tonight. I'm not hollering about what we've done wrong or what we've done right, but I want to see some things. Listen, I'm talking to some that are gray-haired, but I'm talking to some that aren't as gray-haired as others. And listen, your testimony is going to matter by what you do, what you involve yourself in, what you choose to do for the rest of your life. What's going to be your labor of love? Amen. Teenager, listen, this wasn't planned into the message, but let me ask you, what is worth giving your life for? The work of faith or something that can be seen by these hands and can be, quantified by money or my time or the labor of love for the Lord Jesus Christ and giving myself my strength and my all, giving my years, my early years, my years of my strength to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, that, the ministry doesn't pay much. I'll say, amen. I'll amen myself right there. Amen. But I'll say this, listen, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. You say, well, what about patiently waiting? Listen, patiently waiting, it means to suffer. But listen, do you know we can suffer with great joy? If you look in this place, listen, every time through the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, you watch the apostles and the men that were with them, they were persecuted and suffering, and they did it with joy because they knew why they were being persecuted. They knew why they were, and listen, even through the ages, being burned at the stake, and others went singing and went smiling because it was still a labor of love for them, because they were patiently waiting on the hope that was coming. Listen, there's some things I see to be remembered for, but listen, there's others, and this is one of the things for those of you, that's where you're at tonight, but maybe you're one of those that are here and you've trusted in Christ, but your faith in Christ, and you're early and a young Christian, and one of the things that I see as young people in the work, sometimes they don't have that I know so salvation. It's very important for us to evaluate and to know and to believe and put our faith and trust in Christ, but to know it. You can't go further in your Christian life until you got a hold of your salvation, that you know. And the book deals with that. He deals with these things that they were remembered for as a church, but then he goes into it. Look at it with me, and I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to pick up speed. He says in verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. This is Paul. He's giving testimony, remembering what they did in their life. So he's seen their works in verse 3, and in verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Look at verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. Listen, I want to say this. Listen, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I want to tell you that something different happened to me, and I don't know about you, but I hope that you did not get saved in word only. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and that is the beginning of faith. But when I got saved in power. I remember the day that the Lord Jesus came into my heart and saved me, and it wasn't like any other day that went on. I mean, a change happened immediately. I didn't turn into I didn't grow another head or get two new arms or anything like that. I didn't hulk out and start to bust through my shirt or anything crazy like that, but something different happened on the inside of me. God came in. Listen, if the Holy Spirit of God comes in and takes up residence, there ought to be power that comes into the Christian. You know, there was a power for me to not, listen, I was never really a witness of God before I got saved, although I knew about Him. But when I got saved, I had a whole new power inside of me to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the rest of the night when I was, I've told you this over and over again, but let me encourage you again, church. Listen, you need a I know so salvation. You need to be able to, listen, in power, be able to say, what's going on with you? You look different tonight. I say, I got saved tonight. Jesus came into my heart. I'm not the same person that I used to be. He says, not only in power, but look on with me. He says, in the Holy Ghost. And in the Holy Ghost. Do you know that, I preached in chapel, and please don't go and listen to it. I'll probably mess you up. But I preached on the Holy Ghost of God. Do you know, and Brother Tony Hudson, sometimes he majors in this area. But listen, do you realize that the Holy Spirit of God is a third part of the Godhead? That he's one whole third of God. And listen, we don't give him place in our life very often. He's the one that, listen, that indwells us and seals us, and that's where we're ready and able. We just want to keep him there. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth, and even though that he was 100% God and 100% man, that everything he did on the earth, he did in the power of the Holy Ghost of God, so that he could be an example to you and I. I mean, he had power. He had power. He was God. He could have done it in his own power. You say, well, what did he do in his own power? Well, he raised himself from the dead. That was one big thing he did in his own power, amen? But the Holy Ghost of God, you know, the Holy Ghost of God lives and dwells in every one of the believers. Listen, and he is a witness, the Bible uses that term, not only sealing us, but I've preached this to you before, but I want you to get it and hold on to this, because listen, we need to know that we're saved. If we're going to go to the next step, you know, I fear that the generation of young people that we have, you know why they can't take the next step? And when God speaks to their heart and is calling them into the ministry, they make it about salvation again because they don't know that they're saved. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside them. They believed on Him, but they've not been in the book enough to know who's speaking to them again. They think it's the drawing, calling Holy Spirit to get saved, and it's the drawing, calling Holy Spirit to get into the ministry, to get a work of faith, to get a labor of love, to get on with the patience and looking for the hope of God. And oftentimes that Holy Spirit of God is drawing them to do the work of God, but they don't have a know-so salvation enough to realize who it is that's speaking to their heart. Listen, I could go on and preach that we have a Bible-ignorant generation and all that, but listen, you know, there's young people today that would rather dismiss the Holy Ghost and say, that's not a calling of God. I'm just not sure about my salvation, rather than surrendering to the call of God and going into the work. I tell you today, listen, in power, he's God in power. He's God. Listen, he's that God. Listen, the gospel in power, the gospel in the Holy Ghost. And he goes on to say, and in full assurance or in assurance. Look at it, in much assurance. In other places, he uses the term in full assurance. You know, he says here, in the Holy Ghost, look at verse 5, for the gospel came not unto you in word, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men were among you for your sakes. In much assurance. Do you know that in my life, the book, every time I read about Jesus raising from the dead in that book, you know, I didn't get to see it. I don't know about you. Some of you may have been old enough, but I did not get to see Jesus rise again with my own eyes. I didn't get to see Noah get off the ark. I didn't get to see any of those things, but I believe them, that they're true. And when I get much assurance from that book right there. when I read that place, listen, I read it over here, but then all of a sudden I get in the book of Hebrews and I get to hear about Noah again. I get to hear about Moses again. I get to hear about all those heroes of the faith and what they did by faith in this life. I want to tell you tonight, listen, in much assurance, we don't have much assurance because we don't have much of the Bible in us. We don't have much assurance because we're not working. Listen, work of faith in our life is very little. Do you know if you watch God work in your life and you step out by faith and you trust Him and you see Him come through over and over again, it'll help. It'll deal with the much assurance part. It's real. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but I want you to know, listen, you may be here and you may be saying, Brother Parsons, there's some things I know I want to be remembered for, and you talk to me about that, but knowing, listen, in much assurance, listen, it doesn't end. Do you know, I'm not done having much assurance. If I'm going to patiently hope for the coming of the Lord, then I need tomorrow, I need to get in the book and get much assurance. I need to get more. Listen, if John the Baptist had to send a disciple to check with Jesus and he needed much assurance, then I need much assurance. If John the Baptist needed to say, hey, I just wanted to check one more time, is it you or do we look for another? Then I need to go back to the book tomorrow and say, I need another promise, Lord. Lord, I need you to show it to me one more time. Lord, help me. Listen, help me. Listen, if a man can say, Lord, help me not to doubt. Listen, I want to know that I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. Every day. Do you know what a no-so salvation? You know, Pastor preached about pride. You ever seen somebody that's sure of themselves? What about being sure of the Lord? You ever met a man that knows that book so much that when you ask him a question about something about salvation, he can rattle off chapter and verse for you? You ever met a man that when you had a question, I love being able to go out and go soul winning, and when I get to somebody and they get a question and I see where the conversation's going, and I can take them to Bible. I can take them to Bible and I take them right where they're at. You ever seen that in the Bible? What about the Ethiopian eunuch? He took him where his question was, and he preached him Jesus right where he was. Hey, we need Christians that have so much assurance. They're full of the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Ghost, and by empower saved people that in our everyday conversation with people, when they have questions, do you know people have questions about spiritual things? The world is looking all around, and they realize this place is not going to last forever. They realize that, I mean, they've tried to make movies about meteors crashing and busting the place all to pieces and flooding the world again. They got no clue about what the Bible says. They just got an ever lingering thing that the world is going to be destroyed. Right. And they know that there is a God in heaven deep inside their heart. Yeah. And that He would not have not made a way for them to escape. Listen, every person, even though they won't admit it, they got that inside of them. Can I tell you, this book goes on. Look at it with me here. He says this. Skip on down because my time is gone. He says, for they themselves show, in verse number 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had into you and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That was the beginning of salvation for every one of us, believer. I mean, Christian tonight, listen, that's there. And he says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Do you know that this book not only tells us about how we live and all that, but in this book, there's three words that are used for wrath there, delivering us from the wrath to come. There's a lot of people that will build doctrine off of one word. And I want to beg you tonight, listen, I beg you. Do you know this book deals in the same thing as an Old Testament connotation of wrath? Almost every other New Testament book, other than the book of Revelation, will use wrath in a way of anger or malice or violence, we would almost call it a tribulation terminology of wrath. And here, he's not using it in present tense. He's using it in past tense. Look at it. He says, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Past tense delivered us. Do you know if you went on, this same book, the book that God chose to use the word wrath three times, is the only book in chapter 4 that has a good picture of the rapture in it? The only book that gives us a clear, turn to it, chapter 4. Got to hurry. Got to get done. Chapter 4, look at it. You know where it's at. Verse 13, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. That doesn't mean we wouldn't stop them, prevent. I'm a plumber, okay? That's pre, before, vent them. That means we ain't going out before them. Doesn't mean we're going to stop them. It means we're not going out ahead of them, okay? He says, them which are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I don't know what Lord you believe in, but that's my Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know who you're looking for, but I'm looking for the Lord Jesus to descend from heaven with a shout. All right? And look at it. It says, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Listen, if I was looking for wrath, there would be no comfort in any of those words. There's a whole pile of people. Turn back with me. I'm afraid I'm losing you real quick. Look at chapter 2. Look at chapter 2 and go to verse number 14. Look at the second word of wrath here, verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which is in Judea, are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. And they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway. You see that? Fill up their sin alway. That's a constant word. And then he says, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Do you know there's a reason? If you read on, you'd see there, this is the second time the word wrath is used in the scripture, and he doesn't say that the wrath has come upon the church who he's writing to, or upon us as believers, but he said upon them. He's talking about the Jews. If you go all the way to the back of the book, he says, I have no need to write about the times and the seasons. He goes on to tell the church, listen, he doesn't write, hey, get ready, buckle in, build a fortress, get ready for the wrath to come. He told us in chapter 4, hey, get ready for Jesus. Look forward to the coming of the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Hey, I want to tell you tonight, listen, church, there are some things that we need to be remembered for. Christian, young Christian, you need to know, you need to get much assurance, because you can build on your faith. And then listen, for those of us, listen, there's some things to look forward to. There's Jesus's return for his church. There's heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Amen. I get to go to heaven. There's a rest prepared for the saint. Hey, tonight, listen, if you're here, there are some things worth living for. If you're a believer, listen, I beg for you, listen, don't fall asleep. The book talks about a lot of sleep. I beg you tonight, listen, don't sleep your life through. I'm talking to the choir tonight, but listen, hey, let's wake up. Let's get some rest tonight and get back at it tomorrow, because there's a work to be done. And listen, there are people that still need what we got. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to turn it over to the preacher. Would you stand with me tonight?
Let's bow our heads a moment. Good message for believers, for the church, for us tonight. A work of faith. It goes on. There's no finishing down here. We sing a little song around here sometime. It's kind of become a theme song among the staff. We joke about it sometime, but it says we'll work till Jesus comes. There's no place to sit down and rest. There's too much to do. And we do the work, but there's a sense that we rest in the Lord while we're doing it. That's the assurance the preacher was talking about tonight. I hope you have that assurance. If you don't, you're missing the blessing. Say, well, preacher, I believed on Jesus. Well, if you got assurance of that, then go on and serve him. And you'll never serve him right until you have that assurance. Never try to talk anybody out of their faith. I try to talk them into faith. But I want to say to you, it makes a difference if you got that assurance. Tonight we're going to have an invitation. Could be that you're here and you've never been saved. Or you've been doubting your salvation so long until you've lost your power to serve the Lord. That's what the devil will do. He'll steal your power to be a witness for the Lord Jesus if you got yourself full of doubts. Maybe tonight the message spoke to you and you can get all that stuff fixed. So whatever God's asked you to do tonight, Father, may you bless and may hearts be open and responsive to you as we give our invitation tonight. May you bless in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'll meet you down here. The altar's open.